Brown at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 52 of Three in the Box, your underground Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about streaks, goalies yet again, and El Nino. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And on my other side is Jive.
Hey-ah!
And before we get into things, it's honorary that we mention our Twitter account. That is at Three in the Box. You can follow us. We talk during the game, sometimes during the week.
Mainly during the games.
Mainly during the games.
Color commentary.
You know, every once in a while we post a video on...
color.
Color.
Commentary. Every once in a while we post...
Off-color commentary?
There you go.
Off-color, yeah. But every once in a while we post a crazy video on Wild Swede, at Wild Swedes Twitter. When everything, anytime there's a weird Swedish related video.
Isn't that the video? No, that was the other one.
Yeah, there was a video of like some guy screaming out his window in Sweden. And then everyone else in the neighborhood starts screaming out their windows at 10 at night.
Those Swedes.
Those Swedes.
They're sweet.
Was that a pun attempt? I don't even know.
Yes.
Oof. Okay.
You just rim-shotted yourself.
With that. So, losing streak is over.
Yay!
Yeah, who'd have thunk all it would take is a game against Buffalo to break that losing streak, right? And now the Wild have started a new streak, winning three now. With wins against Buffalo, Dallas in Dallas, and then...
Dallas in Dallas is kind of unheard of.
Well, we had one last year, and now again this year. I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. And then an accidental nail-biter against the Jets. So basically, it should have been a...
Blowout.
Should have been a blowout. Ended up giving the Jets a point
by
some sloppy play. You know, with this, this puts the Wild a win away from San Jose for eighth in the West. The Sharks have four more games played on the Wild, so, you know, it's not really apples to apples
comparison.
Not equal
ground, right.
And so far, the Wild have 2 3-game winning streaks and a 4-game losing streak. There's a lot of streakiness for a team that's 17 games in to basically have 10 games of streaks this early in the season. Is anyone else concerned that this team's going to end up just a very streaky team?
Well, you know, we'll talk about it later, but I think a lot of it has to do with how some of the lineups have been lately. People in, people out, people moving up and down.
That's hockey. That's how a season is going to go. It's a constant roller coaster ride.
But what if we have these streaks and it comes playoff time?
Well, hopefully we're on one of the up streaks.
That's always the hope. Yeah, I mean, any team that's riding into the playoffs, they're hoping that their goalie is hitting their hot streak and that their team has gelled together and come together and that all of your injury bugs have gotten out. I mean, basically, as you go along through the season, all this stuff is kind of what makes it's the reason why we play all the games is because it provides for, I guess, that fluctuation.
But I don't think I'm saying anything groundbreaking here. But you know, I would guess that most of the better teams in history don't have a whole lot of 4-game losing streaks in their schedule.
Have you seen one team in history that's gone 82-0?
Hey, I'm not asking for that.
All right.
I'm asking for 3 wins here, a loss there. 3 wins here, a loss there. Not 4 wins here, 3 losses there, 4 wins there.
And, so you are for the streaks.
And
no, I'm not.
Well, you're
that's
you're,
a winning streak.
Winning streak. Winning streak.
That, when people talk about a streaky team, they're usually not saying a winning streaky team.
They can go either way.
That's what they're usually talking about. Right. Yes.
Well, and just looking at, speaking of streaks, looking at the other teams right now, I mean, I would say for their streaks currently, most of the teams are at either one or two, a couple of threes in here, and then a couple of, well, 1-4, and that's a losing four for Edmonton. But most of them are like a one or two game for the last streak.
Especially at the level of the NHL. I mean, all these teams, even the Buffaloes of the league, they come to play every night, and any team on that wants to step it up on the ice can win the game.
Well, they've won two now in a row.
Right, but you know what? A four-game losing streak is a exit from the playoffs.
Easily.
You know, and if you're losing...
This is the truth.
And you can say, you know, it's because of injuries or what have you.
And have you never seen a top seed flop?
Oh, sure.
What, wasn't that just last year?
I think the past couple of years. L.A.'s first year. Because L.A. came in as the barely made it in bottom-ranked team, that, and they ended up winning the cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not concerned about it. I think it's too early to call it streaky. Their streaks have been fairly short. So what was their losing streak? Four games?
Four games, and I think that was the
four. Games. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not concerned yet.
You know, yeah, as long as it doesn't turn into a habitual habit of a four-game.
Habitual habit?
Habitual habit of a four-game. Wow, that's, yeah. Thanks. Thanks. You just threw me off my track.
Sorry about that.
You just derailed my
He has rail. A habit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn into a habit of, you know, four games and then. Yeah, four-game losing streak in a row, like a lot. I think it'll be all right. I mean, you're going to see some two- and three-game losing streaks. There's bound to happen.
I guess from a, you know, a logical point of view, a four-game losing streak is never good.
Well, I mean, that one started off at home, too, against Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then it was two Canadian and an East Coast game, I believe.
And the Wild still have a losing road record.
Right.
Significantly. I mean, they're, at home they've been stellar. Aside from that one lone loss against Pittsburgh, they've been great at home, but on the road
they almost had another one against Winnipeg.
Right. Accidentally after basically a collapse. So,
but you do have to look at what they did come through there over that four-game stretch. I mean, we had several injuries and lots of personnel changes, like you had mentioned, Kenny, that, you know, the lines weren't the same every night.
Yeah, but the Wild also weren't playing against the top of the league teams either.
This is true.
You know, we lost to the Devils.
This is why we play the games.
We lost to
any
the Devils.
Any team can win any night, so.
Well, at least we didn't lose to Buffalo.
Thank God. Losing to Buffalo at home would have been a kick in the nuggets, I think, so. But you know, so I know during that four-game series, we had a lot of injuries.
With that, we've got some guys that are now healthy. Right. A couple of guys that are still out. Brodin's still out with mump symptoms. You know, it sounds like he is not.
Do they vaccinate in Sweden or something, or not vaccinate?
Ironically, the
this
Minnesota Wild are offering mumps vaccinations to all the players and coaching staff right now.
Pretty sure they have national health care in Sweden. So what's
I think
deal?
They do. I don't know. Maybe they don't believe in vaccinations.
This is possible.
Bunch of anti-vaxxers. So, damn you, Sweden. Damn you.
So, yeah, Brodin, he's still out. He may end up making the Florida trip against Florida-Tampa Bay and not make the Philly trip. But Spurgeon made his return to the lineup against Buffalo on Thursday, I believe, Thursday.
Nice to see him back.
Yep. Yeah. Parisi and Scandella both came back against Winnipeg on Sunday. So Spurgeon comes back. He gets a power play goal against Buffalo, which with two power play goals that game after being on a drought. He got one and Nino got one.
Yeah.
Parise comes back against Winnipeg and scores two goals. Scandella gets the overtime game-winning goal, and Spurgeon assists on one of Parise's goals against Winnipeg. So the Wild win 3-0 with Spurgeon back. Got a combined three goals and an assist from those three alone against Winnipeg. So how much were these guys missed? And will we see the same Wild we saw at the beginning of the season now that we're starting to get some of these skilled players and our D and our should-be captain back?
I mean, I don't think anyone will doubt the effect that Parise has on this team.
Yep.
But I think a lot of people overlook Spurgeon because you've got Suter playing, you know, monster minutes. And Spurgeon, he's our one D-man who consistently steps up and is making shots and making offensive moves and is still stellar defensively.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's our second goalie.
And fourth forward.
You're right. And there's a lot of value there.
Do you think he's going to excel much more than where he's at? Can he excel much more than where he's at?
Well, yeah, I think getting more ice time and scoring more. And considering how poor our power play has been, you got to figure he's going to start getting some more power play opportunities like he has. So you got to figure it's only a matter of time before he's getting more power play points in general. I think he's just starting to hit his stride professionally in the NHL.
You know, that brings up a valid point because with the Wild's top power play line, they're rolling with 1D, Suter at the point, and then four forwards. I could see him, at least as of right now, stepping up into the second line as a regular second power play unit player because that's, you know, they roll with 2Ds at that point, and you almost have basically another forward on there with his style of play.
No doubt. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of scoring,
power plays,
power plays and scoring. And I know you mentioned it, but Nino Niederreiter, he now has 7 goals on the season, which leads the team surprisingly. He's up on pace for right around 35 goals if he can keep this sort of pace up. Obviously, the numbers are a little skewed. He had a hat trick against the Sabres, but it's actually his first multi-goal game as a professional.
As an NHL player.
As an NHL player. But even without the hat, he'd be second on the team in goals behind only Zucker, who has 5. So, you know, hindsight being 2020, how does Fletcher not look like a genius for trading for him right now?
Oh, compared to what Clutterbuck's doing right now?
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
Clutterbuck has, what, 2 points?
Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer.
It's about the environment that a player's in, too. But, Niederreiter, he's surrounded with great players now. Not necessarily that he's been on those lines, but he has probably some benefit from playing other teams' lower lines.
So are you saying that if Clutterbuck were on this team, he'd be on pace for 35 goals?
Dude, Clutterbuck would probably be shattering Gretzky's records.
maybe his shoulders or something, but I don't see any maybe records. Not.
Maybe not. No. And, I mean, I don't know. And I see those two as two very different players, though.
Oh, certainly.
So it's hard for me to compare them like that. I don't know. I guess with our acquisition of Ryan Carter this year, I think that, you know, we wouldn't have a place for a person like Clutterbuck anyways on this team.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, Clutterbuck can't cross-check a puck into a net either.
he might be able to give him a shot.
Well, I think, you know, over the past few years, the Wild have definitely gone away from the single-use player
Yeah.
You know, we don't have any goons. We don't have any. We had Konopka, but he would fight, I guess. That's an
He'd
asset.
Get his face punched.
I guess it's an asset, but he could win face-offs. But that's about all he could do. I don't know that there's a whole lot of guys on this team that are, you know, just single-faceted.
Even the teams that do have just a straight fighter on their team, which is very rare now, you don't see those guys playing in the playoffs. You're gonna have
it's basically dead weight. They're only starting or playing in like half the games, or maybe just over half the games anyway, because a lot of the circumstances don't call for having a meet. Meat squeeze skating around on ice, just looking to punch.
No, I wish I could remember who it was. There was one enforcer back in probably I think mid-80s or something like that. He was on the bench for the playoffs, and you know, basically like middle of the third period, would come around and he'd take his skates off on the bench because he knew he wasn't getting any ice time. You know, especially on a close game. But you know. My point to all this is you don't see teams with one-directional players making the playoffs and winning Stanley Cups. For the most part, you got guys that are all-around skilled. You know, obviously you're going to have your scorers on the team, and you're going to have some of your just solid D, but you're also going to have that D stepping up, you know, for their teammates too.
They got to contribute on both ends. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know. Two-way sport.
So.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a real good analogy in hockey, but in baseball, they have what's called a 5-tool player, and a lot of teams don't want to carry around a 1-tool player,
right?
Because they, you know,
you're talking about the utility man.
Yeah. He can play defense.
What's his name? Punto?
Nick Punto would be
his famous one, right?
He'd be a great one. Or Al Newman back in the day, there's times when that is useful. But if you get more than one guy on your team like that, has a single tool, in a hockey sense, you're probably not going to go very far as a team.
No, because that's one other guy sitting on the bench that... You get somebody that gets hurt or somebody that gets a game misconduct and gets tossed out, so you're now down a player on the bench. You're almost down two at that point.
And let's be honest. The AHL is filled with one-tool guys, some zero-tool guys. And
well, it's also development for the NHL. So
what if we got the NHL to convert over to maybe, say, a baseball-type thing where one division gets a designated hitter? You know?
A designated hitter? Like, yes. Clutterbuck would be the designated hitter?
Yeah.
All you do is skate around and hit people? Yep. Wouldn't even have a stick?
Right.
That's like, let's not try to even fake anyone out. He's not going to be scoring anything. He's just out there to hit people. He's our designated hitter.
If we're going to do
that. That guy can't take penalties or something, you know?
if we're going to do that, let's take this a step farther and go, you can only have skinnies, mediums, and fatties on your team, a la ice hockey. And you got to choose wisely. Like, you know, so the visiting team has to pick first if they're going to go with all skinny guys. You take all the fat guys. I can just knock them around.
Does that mean the USSR is coming back as well?
Maybe.
I remember in that Nintendo ice hockey game that you're referring to that I always chose to have more of the medium guys because they were right in between.
Because you're indecisive.
They could skate the puck.
That sounds like wishy-washy
to me. But they
could
also play defense. I mean, no, they were both sides.
No, you have three fatties and one skinny dude.
No, you got two of the average size guys, one skinny guy to break it out, and one big,
D guy. That's the default setting. You just kept on hitting the button until you play the game.
Indecisive,
I
tell you.
I want to play.
That's not indecisive. That's smart.
No, you go with the three skinny guys that have the speed and the one fat guy to protect them.
Yeah, but then you're not going to be able to. If you have the skinny guy, you can't start a fight ever.
Well, you can. You just get tossed out right away.
You lose.
Yeah.
You lose the puck.
Wow.
Your Nintendo Ice Hockey Podcast.
Oh, nerd.
Well, I thought we were gonna have to change the name to like Riding the Pine or something, talking about all the utility baseball players.
So,
well, speaking of riding the pine,
yeah, well, let's roll right into that. So Kemper got to start the game out against Buffalo. And that's about all he did, because he gave up two goals on two shots, and he was pulled from the game. But he did come back the next game against Dallas.
Yeah.
And he only gave up one goal there.
No, played well.
Yeah. And then, but then we had Backstrom playing against Winnipeg, correct?
Yeah.
And in the third period, he gets yanked. So, my question here for you guys is, does he have a twitchy trigger finger when it comes to pulling the goalies here?
Well,
I mean,
you'd rather him pull the goalies quicker rather than let him sit out there and be a shooting gallery. Because it's easier to say, he maybe should have left him in. Whereas it's really disappointing to say, man, what is he thinking leaving him out there? You should have pulled him.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, when I'm not the biggest Backstrom supporter, but when it was late in the third period, Winnipeg had made this comeback. They tie up the game 3-3, and then Yo yanks Backstrom out of the game. I gotta say that I screamed out, "What the hell are you doing, Yo?" Because I really thought that bringing in a cold goalie who's been sitting on the bench all game, and you got a tie game right here, it just doesn't sound like a smart option. I was proven wrong.
But well, not necessarily. The outcome could have very well been exactly the same.
It could have, because I heard a couple posts clank. So
right, and you know, some of those were the ones that were on him were deflections, or you know, ones no one could have stopped.
Right.
However, posit this. Maybe he pulled Backstrom because he figured, we're going to go to a shootout. I'd rather have Kemper in there for the shootout. You know, maybe he thought it was going to go all the way to the, you know, the shootout, and so he wanted Kemper to be available in net if it got to the shootout point.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
Backstrom is terrible in the shootout.
Okay.
Yeah, he always has been.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
So he's basically...
I was thinking the other way around. I'm back on the Buffalo game. See, this is the thing, too. So, I get confused. Who's playing Who's on first? Who's in second?
I don't know. It's 30-something. Well, I can't see his jersey number.
So Jive, going back to you thinking back the other game.
Right.
Pulling Kemper after
two goals.
Well... You know, to Yo's credit, he's had experience with this, because the last time an NHL goalie got pulled after giving up two goals on zero saves was Backstrom back in 2013. So Yo's already done this. He's already gone through this routine. Just happened to have been pulling Backstrom before instead of putting them in this time.
So we should have known to expect that.
Yeah. So you think Backstrom just had a grin on his face going, oh, shit. At least it wasn't me this time.
Been here before.
Just on the other side of the coin.
So how about for the goalie morale for this? I mean, do you think that, you know, Kemper, I mean, you'd think that it would kind of irk a guy or, you know, him down a little bit after getting yanked after just a couple of shots.
He was not happy on his way out of down the tunnel, man. He was...
But he bounced back versus Dallas. I mean,
he did.
Yo had, you know, Backstrom played great the rest of the game, you know, in relief of Kemper. And it was kind of surprising, actually, because the Yo thing is ride the hot hand. Yeah. It's kind of surprising that he didn't play Backstrom again against Dallas.
The next night, right?
You know, but then again, Backstrom has a terrible record in Dallas.
Well,
so,
the Wild have a terrible record in Dallas in general.
And who's been in net?
Well, not Backstrom, all of them, but
he could have gone either way, being that there was a back to back game days, probably helped push him towards Kemper.
Well, and that could have been it too with the lineup, you know, against Winnipeg coming up too. I don't know what Kemper's record is against Winnipeg off the top of my hand, but it could have been something like that where Kemper never played as well against Winnipeg. The last memorable game I remember was Briz in net against Winnipeg.
And judging by the way the Winnipeg game ended up, maybe Yo should have started Kemper both games, says both Dallas and Winnipeg, because...
But at the same time, you don't want to
got pulled.
Yeah,
so.
After almost a full game, so Kemper did get a fairly good rest.
Yeah. And I feel that Backstrom actually was having a decent game.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know that you can blame him for the goals that were let in. So, but it is what it is. But since we're talking about goalies. The Wild did take Josh Harding. He was removed from the IR. They also lifted his suspension. And then they immediately followed that up with placing him on waivers on Monday.
Well, team suspension, not NHL suspension.
The team suspension, right. But they placed him on waivers on Monday, trying to send him down to Iowa. And lo and behold, he has... cleared the waivers and he's down in Iowa now, but when Chuck Fletcher was asked about this, you know, he said, yeah, it was a risky move placing him on waivers like that, but that, you know, in all reality, Harding really hasn't played since what, the end of last year,
almost a year ago, right, well, yeah. 11 months ago.
So I mean really, I mean, it's, yeah, a peanut pot. And that, along with his other issues with his MS and controlling his medication.
Well, that was
like that.
One of the things that I had seen with the MS is, you know, Fletcher, one of the reasons he wasn't concerned is because the other 29 teams don't know how to deal with it.
No.
You know, and they've had, you know, what, 2 years experience now, year and a half experience working with it. And they're trainers and their team physicians know how to work with him with his current condition.
Yeah.
Well, and one good point I did see online was that, you know, would that not would a team really withhold how to treat, would a doctor withhold how to treat a patient? Because Harding is more than just a broken leg or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's a human being there.
Right. Are they really going to try to hinder his health by not divulging, you know? And it's not like Harding doesn't know what medication he's on. So
yes.
I got to think that maybe the other teams don't know how to handle MS is a little overplayed.
Well, I'm sure he's got his own personal physician that he's going through this. I think more so what Fletcher was saying is how the trainers and the team physicians, how they interact and work with his doctor going through all this, and how they handle, you know, his off days and on days, and can kind of see different symptoms building up and know when to let him rest instead of practicing and what have you.
And see, I got to think it's just a matter of conditioning. Yeah, like you said, he hasn't played in 11 months. He probably could have came back last season, except he'd missed so much time he was out of condition.
He was almost ready to dress for Chicago, I believe, wasn't it?
Right, but they felt that his conditioning wasn't at the level to play in a game. It's now been, you know, another 7 months or six months or whatever. Do we think he's now in shape after just getting a foot injury?
I highly doubt it.
Yeah. And what team's going to be willing to take that gamble? For a $2 million gamble on that.
Right, yeah. Because he is. Harding is in his final year of a three-year, $5.7 million deal. So, and even down in Iowa, he's still earning that NHL wage now.
Yeah.
So, I think it was 1.6 or 1.7 million that the Wild owe him, you know, prorated, I guess, based on what's left.
Yeah, and I think with him down in Iowa, he still gets his full wage, but only half of that goes against the Wild's salary cap.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are his chances even with the Wild this year? I mean, unless if we have probably an injury or something like that to either Backstrom or Kemper, I would assume that there's just not a place up here for him.
Injury is going to be the only way he's up. You got to figure. But however, since he's already passed through waivers, he's got a very comfortable contract for us to, or a situation for us to use. I think he has to be up with the team for 30 days before he has to go and be clear waivers again.
Okay.
So, you know, say Backstrom's out for a week, we can pull him up and
send him
right back down.
Yep. But it's not 30 days continuous.
It is continuous. So he could be up for 7 today and then send back down. Then 9 a month from now and then 15, you know, a couple weeks from then. It's over, I believe it's a continual period, or it's like 30 days within a time period, if that makes sense. There is some flexibility there, and I think the Wild did a smart thing by not sending him right to a conditioning stint in Iowa, because they could have done that. Coming off of IR,
right?
Send him down for conditioning. You don't have to clear waivers to go on a conditioning stint.
Yeah.
However, if he gets sent down for a conditioning stint,
he can only be down there for a certain amount of time.
You can only be down there for a certain amount of time. Plus, he's basically showing other teams how much value he has.
Do. Right.
And while that might help our trade situation, probably wouldn't. And if we have to send someone through waivers, that jeopardizes it as well.
Right.
So you got to look at this, and I got to say, I didn't think the Wild were going to do this, but
it was a smart move.
It's a smart move by Fletcher. Yeah. Maybe we got a little lucky that no one claimed him, but given the circumstances, it's not surprising.
I had somebody did claim him. They're getting him for maybe a half a season.
Yeah.
Possibly taking him into playoffs. But it would more than likely be almost as a backup goalie, just because I don't know how the other teams would even feel about him coming in as a number one right now.
Well, just remember that before he went out last year, he had won 18 games. Had like a 1.65 goals against average.
He was a Vezina candidate, basically.
Right. So, I mean, is there a place for him with the Wild or in the NHL next year? I mean, beyond this? Or is that yet to be determined?
I think we got to see how this year plays out before we even start talking contracts about him.
If he can stay healthy the rest of the year and not have any MS issues, he might have something
or kick a wall.
Or kick a wall or punch a teammate or whatever has got him riled up today. He might get a shot next year. Because there's always a need for talented goalies.
Okay.
But he's not going to be paid much, and it's not going to be multi-year.
This is my question. Should the Wild maybe shore him up and sign him to like a little bit smaller contract, maybe something that's, if he's willing to go with a two-way type contract where, you know, he could be back and forth.
I don't know. Can he still sign a two-way contract?
Oh, sure. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Because he's probably
going to be a little burnt having to play in Iowa right now.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think he would even want to sign here, because he probably thinks he's still the number one goalie.
Yeah.
And ought to be. And it's obvious that Kemper's the number one goalie of the future. The Wild are going to need a guy to back up Kemper and be comfortable with that assignment.
Right.
And I don't know that Harding's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Which I think also brought up another point. You know, had they left Harding on the roster with a three goalies on the roster, how would that have affected Kemper's play, knowing that the other possible number one goalie is sitting there almost breathing down his neck?
Well, technically, he's still breathing down his neck. He's just a level down and getting playing time.
And so at this point, I don't think he needs to feel threatened. And I mean, it all comes down to it's a team game, anyways. So you're going to be doing what you think is best for the team. Yes, there are those selfish individuals that don't have the team in mind, but even as a goalie, you're going to want your team to be putting forward the best that they can in net. And I think that Kemper's still young enough anyways that he could still stand to learn a couple things from some of the older, more veteran goalies. So
no disagreements. And you know, as great as Harding's partial season was last year, you know, he's 30 years old now. He's playing in his 30-year-old season. He's got a career save percentage of 918. You know what Kemper's career save percentage is? 915. So
very similar.
So it's like, are we really wanting to risk anything to hinder Kemper's development to pacify a guy with a series of injuries?
Right. This isn't his first run in with injury or being out for extended period of time.
And he's got a fatal disease.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks for it to happen like this, but you know, we knew this was going to have to come someday.
Very true.
You know, he's at least getting a chance, and he's still going to be there in case there's an injury. And knowing the way the Wild's goaltending situation has been, there's going to be an injury at some point.
Yeah, about 2 weeks before playoffs.
So you're saying that we're going to see Harding in net?
I'm sure we will. I'm guessing we'll see him at least a couple of games. He'll be in net.
So if we do get that petition signed for bringing Briz back, it's probably not going to do any good, right?
I mean, I'm gonna have to check this, but I wonder how many times. If I doubt the Wild's ever played a season with just two goalies,
huh?
You know,
maybe back in with Fernandez and
Rolison. Yeah, maybe. That
would be the only thing I could maybe think of was with Fernandez and Rolison.
I'll have to double check that because
those two were quite the tag team duo.
Yeah, that's true.
With those two, you had them almost splitting games evenly,
right?
Or at least it seemed like it.
But I would still think that odds are we've had way more seasons with multiple goalies. For us to have only two goalies start the whole season would be crazy, especially considering what we had last year. You know,
here we gotta do this. Note to self: check on Wild goalie situation. There we go. Saved for all of us.
Wow, that makes for great podcasting there.
Okay, Google.
That's what she said.
So speaking of upcoming stuff.
Upcoming games. We're actually going to do since next week is the day before Thanksgiving, we're going to do a little bit of a preemptive show. We're planning a show on Sunday. And so
Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. So you should.
We're normally here on Wednesdays.
We're normally here on Wednesdays. So we're planning a show on Sunday. We will have had two games by that point. That'll be the Wild starting a road trip against the Flyers and the Lightning. We'll see how those go out. You know?
Yeah.
So let's get to the game of the week.
Hey, we're all winners.
We're all winners. The game of the week last week was Jets at the Wild. We all predicted the Wild would win. Wild won.
Everybody's a winner. This is like adolescent sports nowadays. You know, everybody gets a medal.
I thought it was more like being a audience member at the Oprah show. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car.
You get a point.
Bees!
You get a point.
Bees. Bees.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, sometimes you get 2 points though.
Sometimes you get 2 points, but this week everyone got 1 point. So with that, Kenny, you're still in last place with 2 points. I'm next to you with 3 points. Jive is running away with 6 points. Kenny, you're in last, so you get to pick the game of the week.
Yeah, we're going to go with Wild at Flyers. You know, between that and Lightning, I think that's going to be a more interesting game, at least for the two that we get to see before Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the Wild with 6 points. I predict a 4-2 victory.
Okay. have.
Well, you want to know what, Kenny? I feel really, really bad for you bringing up the tail end. And honestly, I'm getting sick of you always getting to pick the game of the week.
So, oh, well.
So I'm going to bet the same as you, and it's going to work out one of two ways. Either I'm going to lose, and I'm going to climb down the charts so I can finally get a game.
Jive, do you not realize how this works? If you pick the same as me and you lose, I don't get points either.
That's okay.
That means I'm still in last place and you're still in first.
Oh, crap. And anyways, as long as I beat you, then I guess, Kenny, I'll be happy. So I'm gonna take the Wild, and I'll go with 6 points. No, that's not what he said though.
And I'm going with the Flyers. Here's my rationale: the Wild have been terrible on the road, and the Flyers, if you look at their home road splits, they've been great at home. I think it's a perfect combination for a Wild loss, and the Wild have been struggling to score on the road. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-2 game, 5 goals.
Okay. They got to start winning on the road at some point. So.
They did in Dallas, but now they're due for a road loss. So.
No streaks.
We're going to start a road win streak.
I thought you
were
just talking about how streaky they were.
Right. I'm hoping it doesn't go the other direction.
Oh, okay. But if they win, you'll be okay with that, right?
Oh, sure. I win either way, right?
You win either way. There you go.
Isn't that your line?
Yep.
All right.
I thought that was something about Sherwin.
Sherwin Williams.
All right.
Can we put this to bed now?
Yep.
Yep, I think that's a good idea.
Stick a fork in it. It's all done.
So, wrap this thing up. When I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP and Blatant Bug for our band. It's Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, mainly retweeting about live audio and random stupid stuff.
And I'm Jive, and you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. You can catch me there when I'm not chasing around the little Rugrats. Or getting my head beat in by the little Rugrats. Aaron?
I think we're done here.
I think Aaron already said where you can find them.
All right.
Peace out.
See ya.
Bees.
Bye.